I want to share about forgiveness because of the power of it, the reality of it, and the need we have for it. Each one of us, in the reality of who God is, needs forgiveness. And I want us to just look at this concept of forgiveness, and more specifically what the Lord laid on my heart concerning this so powerful reality that we all live in today. In Matthew 26, verse 26, we read of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, communion, one of the sacraments. And today, after the service, we're also going to partake of communion and the power of it. And yet Jesus speaks of the power of communion. He says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, we're instituting the Lord's Supper, which is a representation of his sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is the thing that we, throughout the ages as Christians, still partake in. This awesome privilege to come together, to partake together in the sacrifice that God has made for us. And that sacrifice was really for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can be restored to the Father. Because sin was a barrier between us and God. Sin was the thing that prevented us from coming into His presence without fear, without judgment, without condemnation. Because where sin is, there is judgment and there is condemnation, and there's a consequence of that. So God gave His Son that we don't have to face that, but He took the consequence and the judgment that we deserved upon His Son, and He punished Him so that we can be justified. So that when He looks upon us, and even though He sees our sins, He also sees the penalty and the sacrifice that was made for our sins. And when He sees the blood of Christ, He says that is sufficient. You are set free because the penalty for your sin has been paid. So you are forgiven because of your faith in Christ, because you've come to Him and you've said, Lord, I accept your sacrifice. I turn from my wickedness and I follow you. And because I've accepted His sacrifice, I am forgiven. And communion is powerful because we partake of it. And it is really the focus of communion, the cost of our forgiveness. What it took God to set us free, to forgive us for our sins. Because God is a just God. He's a righteous God. He does not overlook. He does not ignore. He does not. He's a holy God. So the only way He could forgive us was to send His Son so that justice can be done. Justice was done in the death of Christ for my sin. So God is just in forgiving me because He has sacrificed His Son on my behalf so that I can be free. That is the central thought of communion. It's God's forgiveness for our sins through the sacrifice of His Son. John MacArthur Jr. said something so powerful. He says, nothing in the Christian life is more important than forgiveness. Our forgiveness of others and God's forgiveness of us. Now, deep in our hearts, we all long. We have this profound longing to experience the forgiveness of God. All of us have this longing within ourselves to know that when we stand before God, we are forgiven. We are accepted. We are loved. We have this longing to know the reality of forgiveness. Without it, our lives become locked up in guilt, resentment, fear, and anger. But when we experience and know the reality of forgiveness, it changes the way we live life. It changes the way we see ourselves, the way we see others, the way we see God. And we live in a place of freedom when we know that the guilt of the past is done away with. That I'm free of my sin and the consequence of it. It changes the way we live life. freedom and confidence to approach God, knowing that we are accepted, that we're loved. That is so powerful. We rejoice in His grace and His great mercy that we have been forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. Isn't that what Christian life is about? The reality of knowing and experiencing the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. What an awesome God do we serve, that He was willing to send His Son to die on a cross so that we can be forgiven. Make no mistake about it. The only reason Jesus died on the cross is so that we can be forgiven. That's why He came. And that's really what it is, the power of forgiveness. Even more so when we understand and know His holiness. I mean, if we understand the holiness of God, we understand even far more the greatness of His grace. If we have a greater understanding of the holy God and the severity of sin and its consequences eternally, if we understand the holiness of God, if we understand the severity of sin, and if we understand the consequence of that hell for eternity, you know what? There's a proportion in our understanding of God's holiness to our marvel and worship in His grace. Because when we understand the severity of sin, we understand the greatness of His mercy. When we understand the consequence of it, we worship His grace that was extended towards us in Christ Jesus. Every man needs forgiveness. Every man needs forgiveness. Make no mistake about it, God is a consuming fire. And all sinfulness will be punished. And all of us need forgiveness. And yet, despite the fact that He's holy and a consuming fire, He's also a loving, merciful, graceful God that has made a way for us. That we don't need to face His wrath, but we can face His love because of Jesus. So we can rejoice in His grace, this undeserved mercy. What an awesome God we serve. Yet, when we are wrong, when others sins against us, we face the challenge of extending the same forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And that's the challenge that so many of us face today. We worship, we marvel, we celebrate, we rejoice in God's forgiveness for us. But when we are wronged ourselves, when others sin against us, we find it so difficult to extend the same forgiveness that we receive when we were sinful, when we were rebellious, when we were enemies, when we were enemies of God and God extended His forgiveness towards us when we did not deserve it. That is what grace is, undeserved favor, merit, blessing, when we did not deserve it. How difficult we find it as humans when others sin against us to do the same to them. We find it so difficult. And it's about this forgiveness that I want to share about this morning. I have to share it in the context of the forgiveness that we have received, because it is in that same context that the Bible speaks about the forgiveness that we give, that we extend. It is meant to replicate that what we have received. It is a mirror image of what we receive. Freely you have received. Now, freely give. God expects us to replicate the forgiveness we have received from Him to those around us. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And Jesus responds in this well-known prayer, Our Father. He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debt. and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And immediately, Jesus continues to say, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What harsh words Jesus was speaking. The act of forgiveness does not come easy to most of us. So Jesus makes it very clear, God's expectation of us. He makes it so clear because it does not come natural to us. Our natural instinct is to recoil in self-defense when we are hurt, when we have been injured. We don't naturally overflow with mercy and grace and understanding towards those who've wronged us. So what is forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean? I want you just to take a moment and share with the person next to you what is forgiveness. Just think for a moment, what is forgiveness? How would you define it? How would you describe it? How do you understand it? I want you just for a moment to share with the person next to you what is forgiveness. Just where you're seated, just quickly turn to your neighbor. Your wife, your friend, and share with him. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and I want you to think. I want you to think about the way. I want you to think about how God forgives you. Just for a moment, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about the way God forgives you. The sins that you have committed and the way God forgives you. The way he says, I take away your sin as far as the east is from the west. When he says the veil is torn, there's nothing that separates you anymore because my son, it is finished. Now I want you to think of those who have sinned against you. Those who have wronged you. How does your definition of forgiveness differ from God's definition? There are two words in the New Testament, you can open your eyes, that we translate to forgive. It's powerful words. The one literally means to let go. To let go. The other one means to cancel a debt. It literally means to let go, to cancel a debt. I find that at many times the phrase, I forgive you, do not really justify, does not really bring to fulfillment that what the Bible teaches us of forgiveness. You know, we are so quick to say, I forgive you, but so many times it seems empty. The biblical concept of forgiveness really means I release you. I let you go. I let go of the offense. I cancel your debt. You owe me nothing anymore. I renounce the desire to get even with you. That is what forgiveness means. I cancel your debt. You owe me nothing anymore. I renounce the desire to get even. Forgiveness is the miracle of a new beginning. Isn't that what we have experienced in Christ as sinners coming to Him? A new beginning. Forgiveness is to hold out a hand, to want a new and to renew a friendship. To hold out a hand, to extend a hand with the desire to renew a relationship with the husband, with the father, with the son, with a friend, even with an enemy. That is what forgiveness means. It may not take away the hurt. It does not deny the injury. Forgiveness does not deny the fact that what happened to us was wrong. But what forgiveness does, it says, I cancel the debt. I cancel that what was wrong, that what you've done against me, that what you owe me. My desire for retribution. The right that I have to retaliate. The ground on which I stand to demand. I cancel that. And I am setting you free from your obligation, from your debt towards me. Instead of denying the fact that what happened to us was wrong, we roll our burdens unto the Lord and we allow Him to carry our burden for us. Because so many times when we have been wronged, when we have been sinned against us, we carry the load of the pain, of the suffering, of the injustice. And we carry the desire to see ourselves vindicated, to see justice done, to see the penalty paid, to see the debt repaid. And forgiveness, you say, you owe me nothing. I set you free. But we do not deny the fact that what was done was wrong, but we take the anger, the resentment, the pain, and we give it to Christ as we set the person free. We are no longer looking to Him to justify, to repay, but we're looking to God for forgiveness. We roll our burdens and allow Him to carry it for us. We are to forgive so that we may enjoy God's goodness, His blessing that He has for us, without the feeling of weight, of the anger and bitterness burning deep within our hearts. That is what forgiveness does. It sets us free from the anger and bitterness that we carry within us. When we set somebody free, we can enjoy the life that God has for us without the bitterness and the weight that we carry within our hearts. Because who of you have been carrying that before? Am I the only one? The weight, the anger, the bitterness that we carry in our hearts whenever the name is mentioned. The thought comes up. And God wants us to be free of that weight. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, the Word of God says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, with unforgiveness comes bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Forgiveness does not ignore the possibility and the need for repentance. And even change in a relationship. Forgiveness does not ignore that. I mean, in Luke 17, verse 1 to 4, the disciples said to Jesus, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Forgiveness means being willing to take the initiative in restoring a relationship. That's what it means. It means you take the initiative in restoring a relationship by removing the barriers that you and I have created through the offense, through the sin that was committed against us, because in our human nature we tend to recline, to protect ourselves and to build up barriers between us and the offender. And forgiveness place the initiative on our side to restore the relationship. Unforgiveness waits for the other person, doesn't it? It waits for the other person to somehow repay the debt, to somehow recompense us for what has happened to us, for somehow seeing justice done before we will be reconciled. But forgiveness is no, we take the initiative. The ones who have been wronged, the ones who have been sinned against, like God against whom we sinned, who took the initiative to send His Son, God expects us, when we are wrong, to take the initiative to extend ourselves towards restoring a relationship. It means that I'm willing to have a relationship with the other person. A relationship that is based on Christ's love and not based on the past. You see, that's the difference of forgiveness. Forgiveness no longer looks to the past, but it looks to Christ in the way I look to a person. That's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness does not necessarily lead to reconciliation. And I have to clarify that because sometimes people misunderstand that. But forgiveness does not necessarily lead to reconciliation. It's two different things. Reconciliation may be impossible because of unwillingness of the other party to be reconciled. That is true. Sometimes reconciliation is not possible because the other person doesn't want to admit their fault, doesn't want to repent, doesn't want to be reconciled, is unwilling to be reconciled with you. However, I'm not responsible for the other person's actions. I'm only responsible for my own. And my responsibility is to extend the willingness to be reconciled. Forgiveness may lead to reconciliation or it may not. In Romans 12, verse 18, we read the following. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, so our responsibility is to extend forgiveness with the aim to reconciliation. But reconciliation and forgiveness are not the same thing. You need forgiveness to be reconciled. Yes. But sometimes, even though you extend forgiveness, reconciliation is not always possible. Forgiveness is to say, I release you. I let you go. I let go of the offense. I cancel your debt. You owe me nothing now. I renounce my desire to get even with you. The opposite of that is sin. The opposite of forgiveness is sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 18. In the context of forgiveness, the disciples comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times must we forgive? If a brother sins against us, just how many times? Tell us, Lord, must we forgive them 7 times? Surely there must be an end to mercy. Surely there must be an end to grace. Surely there must be an end to forgiveness. And Jesus responds to Peter's question, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then Jesus tells this parable. He tells this parable to explain, to emphasize the reason why. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a very small amount in comparison. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So the fellow servant fell at his feet and begged him, and saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just that I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you who from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. The point of the story is obvious. If we are Christians, we have been forgiven an infinite debt that we could not pay ourselves. If we have been forgiven for something that we could never hope to pay ourselves, if we in turn do not share that forgiveness with others, God treats this very seriously. Unforgiveness is like a rope. Donkey jog. Unforgiveness is like a rope because of Jock's offense against me. Sorry, Jock. But you sinned against me. So you owe me. You owe me, brother. Because of what you've done against me. You owe me. Now I'm not going to let you go until you pay me. Until you restore to me. Until somehow. You know what is the sad reality of unforgiveness? Neither of us are free. I'm tied to him. The thing that we are tied together with is called guilt. Unforgiveness holds this rope. And yes, he sinned against me. Yes, he was wrong. Yes, he inflicted pain. Yes, that is true. But I'm always tied to that person and to that event because of unforgiveness. And I am never free until the day I decide to say, you know what, Jock? I set you free. You owe me nothing. All of a sudden, both people are free. Because of forgiveness. We can never be free until we cut that rope through forgiveness. Edith Buxton once said, I wish I had learned earlier about forgiveness. Both giving it and receiving it, and the freedom of spirit that it brings. You cannot have a happy old age without it. When a situation is broken down in hurt and bitterness, and disagreement is so deep that there seems to be no solution on earth, there still remains this one thing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a conscious choice. It's not a feeling. It is a choice that we make. Forgiveness is a choice we make through a decision of our will, motivated by obedience to God. That's why we forgive. We forgive not because we feel like it. We forgive not because we are in love with the person. We don't forgive because we no longer feel the pain. We no longer experience the hurt. We no longer know about the injustice. No, it's not a feeling. We don't forgive once we feel like forgiving. No, we forgive out of a choice, out of obedience to what God says about forgiveness. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Since forgiveness does not come from ourselves. You know, Colossians 3 verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We forgive out of obedience, but you know, more than obedience, we forgive out of faith. We forgive by faith. We forgive by faith because we have been forgiven. We forgive by faith because God commands us to. We forgive by faith because by faith we have received forgiveness. So by faith we also forgive others. Since forgiveness does go against our nature, we must forgive by faith and not by our feelings, whether we feel like it or not. We must trust God to do the work of forgiveness in our hearts as we choose to be obedient and walk in faith in forgiving others. And I believe God honors our commitment to obedience and faith in forgiving others to complete the work of forgiveness in our own hearts. And that's the amazing thing of God. As we stand in our commitment towards Him, in our obedience towards Him, in our faith towards Him, and we set others free, God comes and completes the work of forgiveness in my heart. Because my feelings might reject, might resist, might protest, but my faith compels me to forgive. And then He comes and completes the work in my heart. We must continue to forgive. That is our work, our job, our responsibility. We must continue to forgive until the work of forgiveness is complete in my heart. And that is God's work, when He takes away the bitterness and the resentment and the anger and the pain that is within me. And even if it takes 70 times, 70 times, and yes, sometimes it is a process of setting somebody free, but it is our responsibility to take that initiative. And if we cannot speak to the person, we can speak to God, and we can bring that person. Sometimes the person that has offended you is no longer alive. Sometimes that person is still alive. And sometimes it's too hurtful, too painful to come to that person. But you can go to God, and you can say to God, God, I want to bring my uncle before You. I want to bring my father before You. Father, and I want to bring him and I want to present him to You. This is my father. This is the man that hurt me, that wronged me, that sinned against me. Father, this is he. I want to bring him to Your cross, Father. And I want to ask You, Father, that You will forgive him for what he has done to me, as I, Father, forgive him. And Father, I pray that as I set him free, Father, that You will forgive him for what he has done towards me. Father, and I'm going to leave him with You. I'm going to leave him with You, Father, and I'm going to walk away. No longer tied to him, Father. No longer tied to him. I'm going to set him free, and I'm going to leave him at the foot of Your cross, Father, and I'm going to let him go. Father, I pray that You will forgive him as I walk on free from a debt owed to me. And in that process, God comes and He takes away the bitterness. He takes away the pain. And He brings freedom. We will know the work of forgiveness is complete when we experience the freedom that forgiveness brings. Because you know the captivity of unforgiveness, you will know the work is complete when you experience the freedom. When we do forgive, the Lord sets our hearts free from the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, and the hurt that previously imprisoned us. So many times we find that the people that have wronged us go on with their lives as if nothing has happened. And we are imprisoned by the hurt and the bitterness. And we cannot move on in life because of what was done towards us. We are the ones who suffer most when we choose not to forgive. When you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut out the cancer from your own life. Not just spiritually. It's interesting to see that so many sickness and disease are caused by bitterness and unforgiveness. It's a medical fact. Emotions is not a feeling. Within the brain, it produces a hormone. And if that continues, it will break down your body. It can cause cancer and all kinds of other diseases. It's not just a feeling. It has the capacity to destroy you physically. You set a prisoner free But in that process of setting someone else free, you discover that you were the prisoner. Someone once said, when we forgive someone who hurts us, we are dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. A beautiful statement. I'm not so poetic. I'm a bit more pathetic. But what a beautiful statement. You know, there's something powerful about forgiveness. Not just in the fact that we're setting someone else free. Not just in the fact that we're setting ourselves free. Not just in the fact that it allows God to come and restore us and set us free from the bitterness and the anger and the resentment. There's something far more powerful than that. It is a reflection of who the Father is. It is an intimacy with the Father that is flowing through me. Andre de Villiers, remember Andre de Villiers when he was here? The guy that sang about his past with the guitar. In one of his songs, one of his lyrics is the following: to err is human, but to forgive is divine. To sin, to wrong, to err is human. But to forgive, that is divine. That is God in us. That is God through us. To forgive points people to an awesome God. Have you heard of testimonies? And there's so many testimonies of Christians who not only forgives, but reaches out to. I've heard so many testimonies of wives whose husbands were murdered, who not only forgave, but reached out to the offenders. I mean, you read of missionaries whose spouses were murdered by the tribe, and how the spouses are able to forgive not only, but reconcile with the murderers. I read a story just recently of this woman that lost her husband to this tribe, and how she not only forgave, but reconciled with the two men that killed her husband, and now they are ministering together the gospel. I mean, what a testimony to the world. I mean, how is this possible? As they travel to the West, and she teaches them how to eat with knives and forks, how to use the bathroom. These are the two men that murdered my husband. What a testimony. What a road sign. What a neon sign towards God. Because to forgive is divine. It is when we tap into His very nature that we are able to forgive, to extend the very thing that we have received. Not only are we obedient, but we share in His nature. And through that, people are drawn to God. The power and the freedom that we have to set people free. We set people free because we also once were prisoners. We also once were in debt. We also once were sinners, but we have been set free. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You sent Your Son to pay the price that we deserved, so that we may be forgiven. Father, we want to thank You for that. Lord, we want to thank You, God, that through forgiveness we have obtained freedom. We have obtained acceptance. We have obtained belonging. We have confidence to come into your presence without fear and with fullness of joy, because we have been set free, that there's nothing between us and you, God, and that we know that you love us. And that there's nothing that separates us anymore. And God, we want to thank you that through obedience and faith, God, we can extend that same forgiveness to others around us, God. And we can share in the joy of setting others free. We can share in the joy when they respond. And God, we can share in this awesome joy when others are also forgiven. Father, we want to thank you for this divine nature that we not only know and experience, God, but that we can partake in and become part of. Father, we want to thank you for what you have given us through your Son, Lord, that no matter how great our sin is, no matter how often it was done, no matter how grave it is, no matter how bad it was, no matter how terrible, how shameful, Lord, we want to thank you that your sacrifice is sufficient for that. And as we turn to you, God, you forgive us. You say it is finished. There is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have taken our sin away from us as far as the east of the west, God, as we turn to you. And Lord, I want to pray for those. There are maybe some people here today that you are still struggling with guilt. Maybe you are here today and you feel that there is still something in your life that is not being forgiven. Maybe you don't know this God. Maybe you've never come to this God. Maybe you've never come to this place to embrace the forgiveness that He extends to you freely out of love because of a sacrifice that was made 2,000 years ago that is enough for every sin, no matter how great, no matter how terrible, no matter how often. God says, this is sufficient for you. And if you're still struggling with unforgiveness and guilt in your heart, if you feel that you are not forgiven, if you feel you still are trapped in guilt, if there's something in you that devalues you, that eats you, that consumes you within, that you are still afraid that you are not forgiven, I want to give you an opportunity to receive forgiveness by just extending your hand to God and say, God, here I am. Forgive me. If that are you, if you're still struggling with guilt, if you're still struggling with not being forgiven, I just want you to extend your hand to God. Maybe you are sitting here and you have committed something against someone and you have not forgiven yourself. Just extend your hand. You could just quickly put it up and down again. You don't need to leave it there. Thank you. For those hands, just before God, just say, God, I want to bring my sin before you. I want to bring my sin before you, Lord, and I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to receive your forgiveness. I just want you, where you are seated there, just to talk to God. I want to ask the ushers if we can hand out the elements of communion, and we're going to partake of communion. And you know what it is? Communion is reminding us of the sacrifice that was made for you and me so that we can be forgiven. I want you to take this opportunity as we hand these elements out. I want you to bring your sin to God. And I want to ask you to ask Him, as a loving Father that has given you everything, to forgive you. You can just ask Him. You can simply go to Him and say, Father, I thank you for your Son. God, I want to thank you that His blood is sufficient for me. I ask you that you will forgive me. And then as we partake of these elements, I want to ask you to think of those who have sinned against you. I want to ask you to think of those who have sinned against you, those who have wronged you. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to God and to set them free. To set them free. For some of you, you need to be forgiven. You can ask God for that. And for some of us, you need to forgive. You can give that. And for some of you, this must be very difficult. And I understand and I have respect for that. But I want to encourage you in the presence of God, as you have been forgiven, as your debt has been paid, that you will do likewise to those who owe you. And then as you set those people free today, that God by His Spirit will come into your heart and that He will set you free from the pain, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment. So as you're waiting, just take a moment. Just spend some time with God. Has everyone received? Anybody that we've missed with the bread? Anybody that we've missed with the bread? Anybody that we've missed with the cup? Father, we want to thank You for what You've done for us through Your Son. Lord, we want to thank You that You were willing to lay down Your life so that we may be forgiven. Not because of what we have done, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because we were able to pay it ourselves. Therefore, You came to this world. Because it was impossible for us to pay the debt that we owe. You came to pay the debt for us. God, we want to bring today before You our hearts, Lord, and we want to acknowledge You as the sacrifice, as the payment for our debt. God, we want to worship You, Lord, for paying our debt, for setting us free, for declaring us righteous and holy and beloved and accepted. Lord, we want to thank You for what You have done, that You took our sins upon Yourself, upon Your body, Lord, and that You took the punishment, the debt that we owed upon Yourself. Lord, we want to thank You for that in Jesus' name. We want to thank You for that, God. And we want to say, God, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, God, that as we bring ourselves and our past before You, Lord, and even the things that we struggle to forgive ourselves of, all the past, all the things that you're ashamed of, the things that still haunt you, the things that you are still hiding, the things that are not a testimony in your life. It's not a testimony because you are ashamed. If you're still ashamed of stuff and it's not a testimony, then bring it to God and say, God, I've done this and I've done that, God. But I bring it to You today, Lord, as I have your body and Your blood in front of me. Father, I want to thank You, Lord, that I can place my shame, my guilt in this body of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, Lord. I thank You, God, that I can take my sin and place it in Him. If that is you, just take that sin and place it in Him. And Father, in the same way, Lord, I want to pray for those, Lord, who have been sinned against, those who've been wronged, those who've been hurt, those who've been violated, those whose trust has been broken, those who've been humiliated, those whose voice was taken from them, those who've been falsely accused, Lord, those who've been defrauded, those who've been stolen from, those who've been taken from, those who've been murdered from. Lord, those who've been inflicted. Lord, I pray for the guilty ones. Lord, and we want to bring those guilty ones before you, Father. We want to bring those men without names, but whose faces we cannot forget. Lord, we want to bring the fathers, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, the friends, the strangers. Lord, today we not just want to stand before you as ourselves, Lord. We want to bring our debtors to you. We want to bring our debtors to you, Lord. We want to bring them to the same cross that set us free. The same cross that set us free, Lord. We want to bring our debtors to that cross, Lord. We want to bring our debtors to you, God, and we want to present them before you. And if you know their names, bring their names to him. Bring their faces. Introduce them to this awesome God. Father, as we bring these people before you, Lord, we want to ask you to forgive them. Father, we want to ask you on their behalf that you will forgive them. Father, we want to forgive them too. We want to forgive each and every one of them. We want to let them go. We want to let them go so that you can forgive them. So that you can have mercy on them. So that you can extend your grace towards them. Lord, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we want to set them free. We want to set them free from what they have done. The debt that they owe. We want to cut that rope, Lord. We want to speak those words and say, I forgive you. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will give us your grace. And we can speak the same words as your Son that said, forgive them, Father, for they did not know. They did not understand. They didn't realize. And Father, even for those who did know, who did realize, who knew exactly what they were doing, Father, we want to set them free. We want to hand them to you, Father. We are no longer going to claim justice. We're no longer going to claim anything. We're going to hand them to you, Father. Because we set them free. We ask, Lord, that the same sins that they have committed against us, Father, we want to place those same sins that was committed against us. Father, we want to take those sins and we want to place it in your Son. We want to place it in your body. And we want to say, thank you, Father, that you have taken our sins. But today, God, we ask for their sins. We ask you, Father, to forgive them. God, we pray, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come You will take away the pain and the bitterness and the resentment. Father, I pray that you will come and complete the work in us. Let us eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins, that gives us new life, that gives us hope. Lord, I pray that as we partake of this cup, Lord, that you will pour new life in our own hearts, that you will come and heal our wounds, Lord. That you will come, Lord, and bring forth a new life in us. God, I want to pray for freedom and healing and life and abundance, Lord. I want to pray for lives that are no longer tied to people and places and events, but people that live for you. In the presence of you, Lord, I pray for more of you in us. Lord, that we can live more of you through us. That people may see you through the way we love, forgive, and set people free. Lord, I pray that you pour more of your grace in us, that we can give the way you give. So as we drink, God, we ask, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. We're going to end now, and I'm going to say thank you for coming.